Ever feel like landing a huge deal? You know, it's about as straightforward as navigating the subway, but like in a foreign city, like tons of lines, stops you don't get, and you're not even sure like which way to go.
It's a common, very common feeling. What if I told you, though, there's a map that could totally change that?
Okay, I'm listening because I mean we've all been there, right? Overwhelmed, a little lost, and definitely not feeling strategic. So that's where today's deep dive comes in.
Yeah.
We're going head first into the big deal sales map. Think of it as like our trusty guide through all those crazy complex sales, but instead of street names, we've got zones and stops. It's all about breaking this massive thing, this undertaking, into, you know, manageable steps,
Yeah.
understandable steps.
Exactly. And the beauty is it doesn't just throw you into the chaos of just chasing clients, right? It starts with you. It starts with focusing on your company's mission, their own strategy.
You're saying before I even think about selling anything, I need to like really understand my own company's goals, like inside and out.
Absolutely. And it might sound basic, but you would be so surprised how many salespeople haven't really internalized their company's mission. Oh, yeah. This map even challenges you to try and articulate it clearly in just a couple minutes. It's a fantastic exercise for anyone, really. Think of it as calibrating your internal compass before you even start navigating the sales landscape.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If you don't know where you're going, ultimately, how can you expect to lead anyone else there?
Precisely. And once you're crystal clear on that, then we can move on to crafting a territory plan. This is where we zoom in on your chosen playing field.
So no more like blindly chasing after any lead that comes across my path, huh?
Exactly. It's about identifying those high potential accounts within your territory.
Okay.
Think quality over quantity.
I like that.
But it's not just about, listing them out. You'll analyze their market opportunity, existing solutions, competitors,
Oh, wow.
even external factors that could be at play.
Wow, this is already sounding way more strategic than my usual
Right,
approach.
right.
I love how this map breaks down these like huge tasks into these concrete steps.
And to help you prioritize, the map even suggests a visual aid.
Okay, I'm listening.
The trusty stoplight method.
Ooh, okay, I'm all about a good visual. How does that work?
Simple, but it's effective. Green light. Full speed ahead. This account screams opportunity. Red light. Probably not worth your time right now. And amber. Well, that's where you proceed with caution. Do a little more digging before diving in head first.
So I'm using all this intel to decide which accounts are worth my time and energy. It's like having a secret weapon to prioritize my efforts. This is already a game changer.
It's about working smarter, not harder. Right. Okay, so you've got your target accounts, insight, compass calibrated, territory mapped out. Now what?
Time to finally reach out and start selling,
Hold
right?
on. This is where things get really interesting. Zone two of our sales map, it's all about dissecting these complex organizations, understanding their inner workings.
Okay. So instead of seeing a company as like one big entity, I'm learning to see the parts that make it tick.
Exactly. We're talking about understanding the divisions, the decision makers, and even the hidden power dynamics.
Ooh.
Remember those key objectives that drive executive decisions? This is where those come into play.
You're talking about things like increasing revenue, reducing costs, acquiring new capabilities.
Those are some big ones. And understanding these motivations, it's crucial, right? It's like learning the language your customers speak. It allows you to tailor your solutions and your messages to resonate with what truly matters to them.
So instead of like a generic pitch, I'm crafting a story that speaks to their like their needs and their ambitions.
Exactly. And to further fine-tune that approach, there's this fascinating concept of mapping an account's divisions,
Right.
okay? Using the Boston Consulting Group matrix.
With the BCG matrix, isn't that for like MBA case studies?
It might sound complex, but it's actually a brilliant tool for salespeople.
Right.
It helps you categorize each division as a rising star, a cash cow, a question mark, or even a dog.
Okay, I can already see how this is helpful. If I'm selling to a rising star, I know they're focused on growth, probably have budget to spare,
Right.
but a cash cow, they might be more about like maintaining their position.
Yeah.
So my approach would be totally different.
You're getting it.
Okay.
It's about recognizing where the customer is investing internally and aligning your solution with those priorities.
It's like finding the open door instead of banging your head against a brick wall.
Yeah.
So we've got our targets mapped out, their internal workings, you know, deciphered.
Yeah.
What else is in this zone too?
Now we delve into the often overlooked world of political mapping.
Political mapping sounds a bit like a spy thriller over here.
It's about uncovering the informal networks, the real decision makers, the influencers who might not be immediately obvious from the organizational chart.
So it's not enough to, like, know the players. I need to actually understand their alliances, their motivations. Who really calls the shots behind the scenes?
You got it. Think of it like this, the organizational chart that shows you the official hierarchy. But political mapping, that reveals the real power dynamics, what's really going on.
And how do I even begin to, like, uncover those hidden connections? This is where I imagine those deep dive conversations, those relationship building skills really, really come into play.
Absolutely. The Big Deal Sales Map, it provides some really insightful questions that you can ask just to kind of subtly reveal these dynamics.
Okay.
We'll make sure to include those in the show notes so you can start mapping those relationships like a pro.
Amazing. Now, I'm not just, like, building connections. I'm a sales detective. Okay, so I've navigated their world. I've mapped the political landscape. I'm ready to finally, like, talk solutions. Is that zone one?
You got it. Zone one is where all that groundwork you've laid starts to really pay off. We're talking about qualifying those opportunities, crafting your strategy, and ultimately securing that win. This is where you develop those compelling win themes.
Win themes. Okay, this sounds intriguing, but I'm not sure I quite follow.
Think of it as like the overarching narrative, right? The thing that ties your solution directly to your customers' needs, their aspirations. It's not just about what your product does. It's about the impact it will have on their business.
So it's about like painting a picture of their future success with my solution as the like the key.
Exactly. And speaking of strategies, remember, zone one is also where you choose your plan of attack.
Okay.
The map outlines five distinct strategies.
Five.
Direct, defensive, flanking, fragment, and develop.
Wow, five different approaches. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely no one size fits all in this game.
You got it. Each strategy depends on, you know, your competitive advantage, the specific situation. Let's say you have this like incredibly strong relationship, you're deeply embedded in their world. That's where the direct approach might come into play.
Okay, so it's about leveraging those like deep connections to essentially kind of guide them towards your solution.
Precisely. But here's the caveat, the direct approach, it's often misunderstood, right? It's not about being pushy.
Right.
Aggressive, no. It hinges on truly understanding the client's needs, maybe even better than they understand them themselves.
Wow.
Without that foundation of trust and insight, it can backfire.
Yeah, it's about leading with value, expertise, not just a sales pitch.
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, let's say you're the incumbent, the established provider. That's where the defensive strategy might be your best bet.
Defensive. So instead of like rushing in, I'm slowing things down, I'm emphasizing like stability over change.
Exactly. You're highlighting the risks, right, associated with switching, reminding them of the strong relationship you've built, the track record you bring.
And if I'm not the incumbent, if I'm the one trying to, you know, shake things up, that's where flanking comes in.
You got it. It's a brilliant strategy, really. Imagine like a flanking maneuver in battle. You're not attacking head on, you're finding an unexpected angle.
I like it. So instead of trying to like compete on their terms, I'm changing the game entirely. I'm highlighting that unique value that only I can offer.
You're catching on quickly. Now let's say you're facing a challenge that seems, you know, massive, overwhelming even for the client. That's where the fragment strategy can be really effective.
Fragment. So instead of trying to like boil the ocean, I'm breaking it down into like manageable stages.
Precisely. You're addressing those specific pain points, you know, incrementally, making it easier for them to digest, to get on board.
It's brilliant for those clients who are like maybe a little hesitant to commit to a huge, you know, overhaul all at once.
Right.
It feels less risky.
Exactly. And finally, we have the develop strategy. This is where you're not just selling a solution. You're actively shaping the opportunity.
So I'm helping the client recognize a need they may not even be aware of. And then seamlessly, like positioning myself as the answer.
You got it. It might involve educating them about emerging trends.
Okay.
Quantifying the benefits they're missing out on.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even helping them visualize a future they hadn't considered before.
It's about like moving from salesperson to like trusted advisor, becoming a true partner in their success.
Exactly. And once you've laid that groundwork, it might be time for the, you know, the formal response, the dreaded RFP.
Okay, RFPs, those can be a double-edged sword, can't they?
They certainly can. And this map does not sugarcoat the dangers of what it calls cold tenders.
Cold tenders. I'm guessing that's not a good thing.
Not at all. Imagine showing up to a party late, right? After all the interesting conversations have already happened, you're left trying to, you know, force your way in. It's usually not pretty.
So a cold tender is basically an RFP where I haven't had a chance to, like, build those relationships, understand the needs, position my solution. I'm just another name in the hat.
Exactly. And the Big Deal Sales Map, it provides invaluable advice on recognizing the different types of RFPs and the level of effort required for each. They even have these effort indexes to quantify how much influence you've had on the process.
So if I'm looking at an RFP and it's all about, like, price with very little room for, like, creativity or customization, that's a red flag that I'm dealing with a cold tender.
Precisely. It's a sign that your competitors might have done their homework, you know? Building those relationships, shaping the opportunity early on.
The key takeaway here is to invest my energy up front, focusing on those early stage interactions, rather than hoping to just, like, swoop in with a last minute proposal.
Exactly. You're playing the long game, you're being strategic, focusing your efforts where they'll have the biggest impact.
Okay, this is eye-opening. Okay, let's say I've done my homework, I've built those relationships, I've been invited to the big leagues, the beauty contest stage.
Showtime. This is where all that preparation comes together.
I'm imagining, like, sleek presentations, tailored demos, maybe even some, like, impressive data visualizations.
You're getting it. And the Big Deal Sales Map, it breaks down the key elements of a winning presentation.
Nice.
It's like a recipe for success, from your whiteboard overview to your tightly scripted demonstration.
So it's not just about showing up and winging it. It's about having a plan, anticipating questions, and making sure everyone on my team, you know, is on the same page.
You got it. Practice makes perfect, especially when you're dealing with high-stakes presentations.
Okay, the tension is building. I've nailed the presentation. The client is impressed. We're down to the wire. Negotiation time.
This is where all your preparation, your understanding of their needs, even your political mapping skills come into play.
I imagine this is where things can get a little delicate, especially when dealing with, you know, procurement teams who are laser focused on getting that best possible price.
It's a dance, really. You're balancing the need to protect your margins with the desire to secure that deal while maintaining a strong collaborative relationship.
I'm already feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Does this map offer any, like, guidance on navigating these, you know, these tricky waters?
It certainly does. There are some excellent tactics for handling procurement teams.
Okay.
Like exploring phase deliverables, offering different service tiers, even simplifying test plans to reduce costs.
So it's about finding creative solutions that address their budgetary concerns without compromising the value I'm delivering.
Exactly. Remember, it's a negotiation, not a surrender.
Wow. This Big Deal Sales Map has been a revelation.
It's amazing how much, like, strategy and nuance goes into what seems like, you know, a pretty straightforward process. It's like, this whole time, I've been trying to assemble a puzzle, but without, like, looking at the picture on the box, you know?
Right.
And this map, this provides that bigger picture and all those pieces to actually strategize.
It highlights how those big deals, they're won long before that contract is signed. It's those smaller victories, you know, along the way. Like, truly understanding your own strengths and building those real relationships, lasting relationships.
And speaking of relationships, there's one concept we, you know, touched on that I'd love to maybe unpack a bit further. Coach development. It's about more than just, like, finding an ally in the organization, right?
You're absolutely right. It's about nurturing a true partnership where both you and your coach within the company, you're both invested in each other's success. It's about going beyond, like, the transactional, building a bond based on trust and respect.
That makes sense. But how do I go from being, like, just another salesperson to someone they see as a, like, a genuine partner?
The Big Deal Sales Map really emphasizes the importance of understanding your coach's motivations, but on a deeper level.
Okay.
What are their aspirations, their personal definition of success, even their, you know, challenges outside of work?
So it's about, like, connecting on a human level.
Yeah.
Recognizing they're not just, like, a job title. They're a person with their own goals and dreams.
Exactly. The guide, it even suggests asking about, like, their family, their work-life balance.
Wow.
I know it seems a bit personal, right?
Yeah.
But these conversations, they build that rapport, that trust.
It shows you genuinely care. Mm-hmm. You see them as a person, not just a, like, means to an end.
And think about it. People are far more likely to go that extra mile for someone they see as a genuine partner, not just a vendor, you know?
Right, right. It's like the difference between a transactional relationship and a real friendship.
Right.
You're invested in their success.
Yeah.
And not just for this one deal.
And once you've cultivated that kind of relationship, your coach becomes invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
They can provide insights into the company, help you navigate those political minefields.
Right.
Even subtly advocate for your solution, you know, behind the scenes.
It's like having a secret weapon. Someone on the inside.
Exactly. They become like an extension of your team, even though they work for the client.
This entire big deal sales map has been like eye-opening. I feel like I've been handed this set of tools and strategies that I can like actually use.
And that's what's so powerful about it, right? It's not just a theory. It's a practical guide for real success.
It's a reminder that knowing your product, it's essential, but it's not enough. Big deal sales, they require strategic mindset, understanding your customer's world, building those strong, genuine relationships.
It's about shifting your perspective from just closing deals to building these lasting partnerships, mutually beneficial partnerships. That's where the magic happens.
I love that. So for anyone listening who's about to, you know, embark on their next big deal, what's one key takeaway from this map, this big deal sales map, that you want them to remember?
Approach every interaction with genuine curiosity, empathy, a desire to truly understand your customer's world. The sales will follow if you get that right.
It's about leading with value, building trust, becoming a true partner in their success. This big deal sales map has given us all a lot to think about. I encourage you to check out the show notes. We got all those key questions, those strategies to help you navigate your sales journey. Until next time, happy selling.